Culture Punch podcast. Thank you guys again for tuning in. I believe this is episode 90. We're almost at the 100 mark. Thanks for sticking around. I know it's been a crazy ride. It's been back and forth. It's been one of those things where it's been consistent and inconsistent, but you know, as you can see, we're getting better at that. But again, from the day ones, the new ones, thank you guys for joining. Thank you guys for tuning in, and thank you guys for supporting. If you guys want to go ahead and like us or give us any kind of feedback, you can follow the podcast at Culture Punch Podcast. That's Facebook, Instagram, or at Twitter, culture_punch. You can also go to culturepunchpodcast.com if you need to listen to the feed there. We're everywhere, people, so you guys can listen to us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Music, Deezer, anywhere. We're pretty much everywhere, so if you guys are having trouble finding a place to support, let us know, and I can send you guys a direct link. But again, we are also on the website, so it is listed there. The last one that we got into, it's kind of a little all over the place. It was talking about real life events, and in this episode, I kind of want to go away from the war aspect, but kind of lean more towards the other topic that we were talking about. It could be in terms of feminism, but I wanted to focus on something else. Today, my guest is a colleague of mine who I've mentioned before on the podcast. I don't think I've mentioned him by name, but I've referenced a couple of conversations that we've had, as well as just some insight stuff. But for those of you guys that aren't aware, my guest today, he's also a photographer, a fellow photographer. And so I did want to give a shout out to his company, that's Streetside Image. So I believe it's streetsideimage.com, if I'm not mistaken. So if you guys want to support, go ahead and go on there. I know he is booking currently. And so if you guys are looking for some kind of photography, whether it be portraitures or whether it just be, you know, in nature and you want to be in the street and do some street photography, go ahead and hit him up. That's Jonathan Romo, Streetside Image. So Jonathan, man, thanks for being on.
Yeah, thanks, man, for finally inviting me and getting me on your podcast. I've been looking forward to it.
He actually has. He's been supporting. So, you know, we got to be thankful for that. It's very supportive. So I really do appreciate all the support.
Thank you.
All right. So let's get into it. So I haven't actually told him what we're going to be talking about, but because I do have a fellow photographer here, I wanted to get his real opinion. And for those of you guys that are out there, the culture empire, I like to call you guys understand that we don't sugarcoat anything here. We're honest and I don't censor nobody. So Hobbs has the freedom to say whatever he wants. And I told Jonathan that he has the same. So with that being said, I want to ask you, I want to bring a story up to you first, and I want you to give me your honest opinions that we can get into it, okay?
Okay.
So, I don't know, it's pretty recent. I'm not sure how old this is, but the Victoria's Secret, there's a new Victoria's Secret model out there. And her name is Sophia Jarau. She is, I believe, Puerto Rican. And she's, again, the Victoria's Secret model. She is the first Down syndrome Victoria's Secret model. And the reason why I wanted to talk about it and the reason why I thought there was some kind of significance to it was because Victoria's Secret has always been a catalog where it wants us to sexualize their models in a sense, right? They're selling lingerie. They're a lingerie company.
Right.
So they're meant there for us to sell, or they're there to sell sex. I know for the last couple of years, they've been trying to rebrand. This is probably another way for them to rebrand or try to rebrand. But the reason why this caught my attention was because it feels a little odd to me. Like I agree with inclusion, right? Especially when you have kids, like you want your kids to be included and not be limited by whatever, right? I don't mind that. The problem I have is that the part that makes me uncomfortable is that it's a Victoria's Secret model. So, you know, there's a bunch of people out there that are just jerking off to this stuff, right? Let's be honest. They're just jerking it, right?
Right.
Is it right for them to do it to a Down syndrome model? Like knowing that she might not understand that it's a dream come true for her, you're on Victoria's Secret, but she might not understand like what that actually means. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
so I'll be 110% sexualized. So I seen that, and my first thoughts that came to mind were, you know, I was actually, you know, I was happy for her that she was able to do something like that. now, you see, you see these people who have Down syndrome, and for example, their dreams to be like a cop. Let's use that for example.
And, that's a good one.
And you know, the police departments, you know, they make them feel special. They swear them in and stuff like that. But really, are they really cops though? No, they're not. And are they really going to go out there and do what a cop does? No, I get the gesture. It's a nice gesture. Okay. But what I can say about this lady is that, you know, she has Down syndrome and, you know, they are using her as a model. So as a photographer, I think that was a good thing they did. I get where you're coming from though. You know, there's creeps out there and stuff like that, that, you know, jerk off to this kind of stuff. But,
well, I wouldn't really call people who jerk off to Victoria's Secret model creeps. I mean, I don't know, man.
It's a little creepy.
You know what's funny, real quick? I have a buddy of mine. I'm not even kidding you. I came home one time. He was at my house when my cousin and I lived together. And I think I told Alyssa this story, but I came home one time and I was looking forward to like an NBA game or something. There was a game on or something.
Right.
And these guys like had, because they're like, hey, you know, it's on. And I don't remember how they worded it, but they're like, yo, it's going down tonight, right? It was a big game. So like, it's going down tonight. We're going to get chips. We're going to get salsa. We're going to get some pizza. We're going to do this. We're going to get beers, all this stuff. So I'm like, all right, sounds good, right? Again, I'm thinking we're talking about the big game. I showed up late from work. You know, they're watching.
What's that?
The Victoria's Secret runway thing that happens once a year. I don't know what it's called. The year, the Victoria, whatever it was. They were watching that. That was what the whole hoopla was for, was that. So I don't think my friends are creepy, but I'm saying there are people that are out there that are literally, it's like a Super Bowl, you know, and they make it a point to go out and do these things. But, you know, I would agree that if I caught someone jerking off to her, I think it'd be a little creepy, but. I just want to clarify that I don't believe that any people jerking out to Victoria's Secret models are creeps. I think that's just an opinion.
I don't know,
it's
man.
Pretty out there.
I just picture somebody with the Victoria's Secret magazine in their basement in the dark with a flashlight.
Hey.
Yeah.
No, ma. It's kind of. I don't want meatloaf.
That's kind of what I picture, man. I don't know.
All right. Anyway, sorry. I didn't interrupt you. You're saying.
So, anyway. Back to this model. I did see that, and you know, I at first, you know, when I seen them advertising her, I honestly couldn't. I by just looking, I couldn't tell that she had Down syndrome to begin with. And then I started reading it, and then I was like, oh wow! I was like, that's, you know, that's pretty cool that they were able to do something like that. For somebody with that kind of a condition, or disability. So, you know, as a photographer, you know, I think that's awesome. And, you know, when you could, you know, it's on my site too. You'll see it on my site. If you go to my website, which is streetsideimage.com, you know, I used to do law enforcement, and part of my thing on my page is, seeing the world, you know, in a better place through a lens. So, you know, and I think that stands because, for example, this, you know, this lady, you know, who knows, she probably had people make fun of her growing up, or, you know, tell her that, you know, she could never be beautiful or anything like that. So, you know, for her to actually be a model for Victoria's Secret is probably a huge deal for her. So definitely you know, you could see the beautiful things in life through a lens. So, you know, and capture those moments. And, you know, I just think all around what Victoria's Secret was trying to do, and, you know, the photographers who took these pictures, you know, I think what they did was amazing. I don't think what they did or anything like that. I don't think they really had the intentions of, you know, if she, you know, wasn't aware of, you know, how people could be, because I'm sure she probably is aware, because she was probably made fun of growing up.
Well, for the sake of sounding like unintelligent when it comes to this, because I'm not making fun of her by any means, but when it comes to something like this, is that you know, because I have family that have a form of Down syndrome where they are, I mean, she's 24. I have a cousin who's that age, but his mind is still that of like a 12 or 13 year old, you know?
Right.
And at that point, I don't know the laws surrounding it. So I don't know if it's a parental consent, like if parents have to consent to this, right?
Right.
So that's what I mean is like, do they understand? And are the and then if the parents do consent to this, it's a dream come true, sure. How Victoria's Secret's going to use her, I'm not sure. But it's hard. You know, you made me look at it differently when you said like when they make them take the oath and stuff for law enforcement and stuff like that. It's not real, but they make it as real as possible for them.
Right.
I never looked at this situation like that because they're never going to go out in the field and actually do police work, right? They might write a report, you know, and right. be a part of a traffic stop or like a ride along or something, but they're not going to go actually out and do police reporting or police work. In this case, the requirements to model are posing for a camera. So she is going to actually go out in the field and do it.
Right.
How they're going to use her, I don't know. Does she understand what lingerie is? Does she understand what sex is? Does she understand that her putting her body exposed out there can the ripple effect that's going to have? Because people are out there going to be
right.
looking at her like that in that sense. Like you said, at first you didn't know she had Down syndrome. So what does that do? Like my thing is just sexualizing someone who may not understand that they're being sexualized. Like, do you understand, does she understand that it's fully like the full extent of becoming what a Victoria's Secret model is? It's a lingerie company. So for the people out there that are saying, oh, that they make this, they make that, that's after the fact. Their main thing is lingerie. And it's always been, we want to get the prettiest girls, right? We want to get the prettiest girls. That's our goal because we want to put them out there. To put her in the Victoria's Secret catalog or even on that runway show is going to be a huge deal
right.
for both the Down syndrome community, for her and for Victoria's Secret, because it's, you know, progression and you're progressing and you're being inclusive. But I just go back, man, I don't have any daughters, so I don't know how you do. I just go back and it's like a part of me feels like she doesn't know what she's really signing up for and the parents are kind of pushing it. And I just, when I see things like that, I kind of get to the point where I'm like, man, the parents are suck. You know what I mean? Like, do you understand what's going on? Yeah, it's a dream come true, but are you going to, like, some of the Victoria's Secret models will get in lingerie that's see-through.
I kind of feel it could go two different ways. And every person has, you know, they're their own person. They have their own families. And this woman's case, I would hope that, you know, she had a supportive family that would kind of help her understand, or at least understand for her that, you know, not to let her get taken advantage of, or help her in some kind of way, let her be aware of the risks and things of that sort. Like me personally, if I have two daughters, so if one of them became a Victoria's Secret model, I would definitely, you know, keep a close eye on that. And I would, you know, whatever contracts there were or anything like that, you know, I would definitely keep a close eye on those type of things. And I would also talk to my daughter, even though she's an adult and she can make her own decisions at this point, which in this case, you know, this woman may need help making those decisions. But that's the point, though, is just as long as you have somebody of some sort to give you some type of support and the honesty and help you understand kind of what you're getting yourself into, you know, as long as you're there and you help them understand, I don't see an issue with it. Now, if she doesn't have any support and she's kind of doing this thing on her own and really doesn't know what she's getting herself into, that's a whole different ball game because, I mean, she's not aware of, you know, she's a sex symbol. She's not aware that, you know, she could be getting taken advantage of by, you know, Victoria's Secret themselves. I mean, they might want to pay her less money. Rather than other models, just because of her condition. And I'm not saying Victoria's Secret would do that. I'm just saying.
I am.
I'm just saying those are things you got to look out for.
Well, you know, when you said Victoria's Secret, I thought you were going in a different direction, but I agree with what you said. My thing is Victoria's Secret also just doing it for the attention? Are they doing it to show, look, we're progressive. Look what we're doing.
Right.
The message is great. I'm all for the message. I just hate when things are done for the wrong reasons. And those things eventually seep through the cracks and you start to see them. So is she getting taken advantage of financially? Is she being coerced or convinced to kind of do this because it will look good for Victoria's Secret when in the long term, they just want to show, they just want to be different. Maybe, like, this is what I picture. I picture the corporate heads at Victoria's Secret getting together and it's like, all right, we've done the same thing over and over again. What can we do that's different? And it's exactly how I see it going down. I'm not even playing, okay? It's going to sound bad and politically incorrect and all this other stuff, but they're like, okay, we got the Brazilians, we got the white girls, you know what? Well, you know, we did good with...
kind of let's think out of the box.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, and they probably had a discussion. They're like, okay, well, what do we think about little people? It's like, okay, what do we think about Down syndrome people? It's like, and then people probably like, all right, bring me something where you can see, because you see like, what is it? What is it called? Midget porn, right?
Right.
Right. And so they have that. So I'm sure that there's some kind of Down syndrome modeling, because there's not overweight modeling. What is it called? Plus size modeling.
Right.
So they have these categories. So you can easily probably dip into, especially if your corporate head seen it. And then, but imagine now you're bringing all these people who in at some point or another, they've gone through some kind of difficulties in their lives and they're trying to overcome things. It's great. She's included in the Victoria's. Like, she's like, oh my gosh, it's a dream come true. For little people, it's like, oh man, we just want to be whatever. I don't know their story, but sorry, I just thought of something funny. I'm glad I didn't say it. And I was gonna say that, I mean, we don't understand their tall tales, you know what I mean? but they're looking at it and they're almost being looked at the same way every other model is looked at, like a piece of meat. Okay, but like, or more like a newspaper article. What's the bigger story? What's the bigger story? What's going to land us on the front cover of this? What's going to give us the biggest media attention? And literally, they can care less about, they just want to be first to something and they're doing it. And again, it can come out later where they're taking advantage of her financially, or they're convincing her, almost pressuring her to do this, and she's not understand the ripple effects they have. Because I don't understand, like, what kind of effect, long-term effect could it have on her? Like, for example, she's 24 now. Let's say when she's 30, 31, 32, and she gets to the mental capacity where she understands what she did and she starts to see it. You think maybe she's like kind of regretful and it's like, oh man, you can't take that back anymore. Do you then feel like you've been taken advantage of? Because how many women have been raped 20, 30 years ago and right. they're coming out now and they're people are catching cases.
Right, right.
What happens in this instance if she comes out later and says, I was taken advantage of? What, law can argue you're an adult, or law can argue your parents signed off for you. But then we're going to jump into that new thing of like, oh, well, she was taken advantage of. She's the victim. Well, why are we having to make these judgment calls 7, 8, 9 years down the road when they're scarred from it, mm-hmm. or when we can see that it affected them, instead of making a moral decision at that moment? How can this affect them? Yeah, we want to be first, but how can it affect that person? Or maybe she's the one person that it won't affect. All I'm saying is that we see this all the time. We're later down the road and they don't care. And their argument is, we already paid you. You took the money. You can't. That's the other thing. What are the contract? Is there a specific special contract for her? And I'm not using the word special. That's just not, no pun intended. Like, is there a special contract for her that says, like, you can't come out after us later when you mentally mature?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, how do you even do that?
So I think
there's a lot of question marks around it. That's why it just seems it doesn't seem genuine, and it sounds good on paper at face value, looks good, but I just feel like there's a lot of evil behind this whole thing.
Yeah, and see there, and I understand where you're coming from, because you know when I take photos of people, my goal is to save a memory for them. I have nothing but good intentions. You know, I'm super respectful when I take photos. You know, I I'm doing this because I want this person's life to be better that I'm taking photos of. And I just kind of feel that like the world that we live in today, it sounds good at the very beginning, but I feel that, you know, there's been so much evil in this world that we live in today, and there's always like what's in it for me type deal. So when you're dealing with a bigger corporation, of whoever, you know, you're making this money and, you know, it sounds great and everything, but really, what are the intentions behind it? Like I said, I'm a smaller business with my photography company. My intentions, when I take photos are to save a moment for somebody so they don't have to do it. So that way I could show them their moment and they could have it forever and cherish it forever. So when you got, you know, the other side, you know, these big corporations that are, you know, wanting to, you know, take these photos and things of this sort, I get what Victoria's Secret's trying to do. You know, they're trying to progress. But I understand where you're coming from too. Like us smaller people, what are your intentions behind it? And, you know, it's sad to say, but nothing's really innocent anymore. I mean,
what about the backlash, right? We're not cynics. We're not the ones that are going to say, why would you put her on there? And why would you do that? Like, she's not pretty enough or she's not smart enough. We're not saying that, right? But there are going to be people. The internet is vicious, bro.
Right.
The internet, is she ready for that part? We haven't even discussed that. Is she ready for the backlash and comments? Is she going to be protected? Is she going to be allowed to see these things? Like, there's going to be people out there. I was watching this thing where I got the story originally from your mama's podcast. I believe it's your mama's house. It's a podcast. And they were laughing about it. They're comedians, right? So they, you know, it's in their nature, but they were laughing about it. And the dude was saying like, I can't finish to this. Like he's talking about jerking. And he's like, I can't finish right. Because she's Down syndrome. Like I just couldn't do it. And those kind of comments are going to hit the internet. The kind of comments like, oh, like Victoria's Secret's meant to give me a boner. This isn't going to give me a boner. Like, you know, you're killing my boner. Like things like that are going to be said on the internet. And is she going to be protected from it? If she's not, like, how can that have an effect on her?
Right. So.
Because she's got to be protected from this stuff. I understand people are entitled to their opinions.
Right.
And I agree that we live in a way too sensitive of a society now. Everyone's just sucks, right? You guys suck. But like at the same time, there's certain lines you don't cross.
Right.
And you when you expose these things, it's hard. When I was younger, I used to make fun of like when I used to see like that, like the 600-pound life and stuff on TLC. I would be like, I'd feel like no, nothing. Like, look, you're all, you know, big and like you got that way, this and that. As I got older, you realize those are real struggles that people have, right?
Right.
When they put on, they had this one show where it was like Down syndrome people finding love. And it was literally like, we're talking about like full Down syndrome. Like there wasn't, and I just couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, they're like now, I felt like you're just putting it out there for entertainment to make people laugh. And that's not, right. That's not how you're presenting it, but that's what you're doing. And it's not just me thinking like that. And we've gotten to the point where we just keep pushing and pushing. So things like that have always made me uncomfortable. And now we got this where it, again, to me, crosses another line because now you're sexualizing a woman. And like you said, she's pretty. She's form-figured. She's got a nice body. And you're putting her in the picture that I showed you, she was in a bikini, but they're going to put her in some lingerie and they're going to just, there you go, world. And it's like, how are we going to react to that? Because based off the internet's history, we suck.
Right.
We suck.
Yeah, and I totally agree because, I mean, what if she mentally cannot handle
backlash, right?
People making fun of her on the internet. And what if it, you know, God forbid, if it drove her somewhere to depression and suicide and it could, you know, it could definitely take a hard left and really blow up into something, you know, that obviously she didn't want it to be, you know, and of course the family, they're going to be like, well, who's to blame? Victoria's Secret, even though they agreed and signed a contract, you know, I agree. And that's kind of what I was saying. Like,
well, that's the second part of that is if that happens, then the family would go after, and Victoria's Secret, you're going to look even worse than you would have if you just didn't do anything, because now you're going to say, no, you signed a contract. You were paid. You accepted money. That's not our responsibility.
Right.
Or you eat it and you pay out. You don't go to courts. You pay out a sum that's and sign an NDA, and then that's that. Either way, I don't think it's worth like what they're doing, but they don't care. They don't care. And for the families, like, it really affects these people. And I've been one of those people that have been like, well, why take the money originally if you're going to come back later and say it affected you? Like, there's a lot of instances, and I still stand by it. I'm not retracting what I said, but there's a lot of instances. And I think everything is case by case. And there's a lot of instances where people will take the money because they're desperate at the time. And then because the trend is victim, they play that card and then expect to get more money on top of it because they're just trying to take advantage of a system, of a corporation. And I don't agree with that. But then there are times where it's justified, where it truly could have affected somebody.
Right.
And I think there are some dues that need to be paid. But it's hard because I think I told you this. Too many people cry wolf, man. So it's hard for – we don't believe victims because so many people are over there playing the victim card.
Right.
Especially here in New Mexico where we live, we see that all the time. In the field, I know you're out more in the field than I am, but just seeing the things that I see, it's always a boo-hoo story for me. Right?
Right.
It's like, how do you – and it's hard. Like, we've had these conversations, like, overcoming those thoughts. And, like, for you specifically, you had a certain outlook on certain things out in the field. And you would say, like, you know, I don't look like that anymore. It's a little bit different. But that only comes because of the people you surround yourself around.
Right.
With, right? But it's very easy to fall into that and see it that way because that's all you deal with. So it's either you look at the cup half empty or half full. And that is subjective. That just depends on the
individual. Or you just stand back and you say, wait a minute, there's piss in my cup.
Wait a minute. Water's not yellow. I don't know, man. That's a hard one for me because it's cool, but at the same time, there's lines you don't cross, and I just hope that she's protected. You know, I don't know.
You know, honestly, the biggest thing that I worry about with all this is just her mental health. If you know, if she does get a hold of some of these comments, which I'm sure she probably will hear or see them, how she handles that, because you know, people are mean. People are extremely mean, and you know, the internet's raw. There's nobody there to protect you from that. And once you put something out there on social media or the internet, it doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to everybody, whether you like it or not. It's out there. People are seeing it. You could take it down. People could screenshot. I mean, so at the end of the day, what honestly worries me about this is just, you know, how she handles seeing negative comments or hearing negative things. Because, you know, like I said, I mean, I don't know this lady's life story, but, you know, the chances of her being made fun of growing up were probably really high. And you know, being bullied was probably really high. She probably felt out of place. And, you know,
And to jump in, how many, this is going to sound wrong, people, so just don't take it. Don't take it for how it sounds. Take it for the knowledge. Okay. And so many normal women get taken advantage of sexually. And like we mentioned, she's not ugly,
right?
She's pretty. So her mental capacity, not fully being there, I mean, it's probable she probably got taken advantage of sexually.
You know, and
didn't understand it.
And I want to jump in real quick because that's something else too. Because, you know, she has Down syndrome, but you know, she's a pretty lady. You know, and you know, what if this continues? What if she, you know, really kickstarts something here and she continues to model, and then you know, she starts getting more money, and then you get some schmuck off the street and recognizes her and uses her disability as an advantage to him. And, you know, because guys do it already. You know, they do it already because they only want one thing, you know. And he makes her think that, you know, he loves her and all this other stuff. And all he's really in it for is the money, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, women with a sugar daddy, you know. So it's kind of like, you know, I kind of feel like when you're born with some type of disability, it could be anything, you're going to have bigger obstacles in life than somebody who's not born with a disability. So, I mean, she's probably been dealing with this her whole life, but when you put a little sugar in it and you start, you know, getting a little famous for something and you have that disability, things could get worse. I feel, because especially in you know, with this girl, you know, she's a model for Victoria's Secret, you know, she's a sex symbol, obviously. And
now she is.
Yeah, now. And well, you know, nobody probably knew who she was until then. So now, except for her immediate family and friends and stuff, you know, so now people see her and she's going to have to, I mean, she's going to have to figure it out. Like, you know, does this person really care for me? Or she's going to have to figure it out. Like, am I getting taken advantage of? And hopefully that's why I'm saying, hopefully she has that support, because if she doesn't, it's going to be a lot harder.
And here comes the controversy. Ready? All right. It wouldn't be a Culture Punch episode if there was no controversy. I'm okay with her being the first Down syndrome model for Victoria's Secret because she is pretty. But you mentioned kickstarting. I believe that things are professions for a reason. Like, I don't expect amateurs to be playing in the NFL. I don't want to see that. I don't expect amateurs to be playing in any league. I don't want to see that. There's a reason why the WNBA doesn't get the same kind of fan base or fan support that the NBA gets. Talent level is completely different.
Right.
You want to get paid because you're titled as a professional just like the men are. But I've never looked at it. And you can go back to every single podcast that I've done that has talks about this. I've never looked at it as you're paid less because a woman and this is men. The way I've looked at it, people have made their arguments about the athleticism and this and that, blah, blah, blah. The way I look at it is when you strip all that away, strip it all away, strip away that guys are more athletic, that guys are more entertaining when it comes to, let's just say, basketball because of the dunking and the highlight plays, things like that. I've always said it that you strip that all away and what do you have? You have more support for the men than women, more ticket sales, more sellout events, all that stuff. So more money, more revenue is being pumped into the NBA as opposed to the WNBA. So what I've always said is, why not pay off a percentage of what you bring in? Then it's fair game for everyone. But then that poses a problem for women because they're like, no, because then they won't get paid what they make now, because they don't pull in that same revenue. You know, an NBA game can be anywhere from 10,000 to 12,000 seats, sometimes 14,000. That's what an NBA arena usually holds, something like that. The WNBA had to downgrade some teams from these big arenas because they couldn't sell them out to 4,000, 2,500, and they still don't sell out. So I don't know if you knew this, but just to get off subject real quick, the WNBA, the NBA carries the WNBA. The NBA loses exactly, I think it's like $2.5 million a year because they're paying for the WNBA. So after paying out wages, after paying for the league, after renting the venues, all that stuff, merchandise and everything, they are always losing every year $2.5 million. But the Adam Silver, the commissioner, said the reason why I do it is because I love the message that it sends to women, to right. Little girls. You can be professional. We're here to support you. But again, based off what you bring in, you should get paid. And then this is where the controversy comes in. I'm okay with her being a Victoria's Secret model because she's pretty. But if you start getting some not so good looking Down syndrome women and you start putting them as models, now you're desaturating the product.
Right.
Now you're just doing, don't do that. I understand you want to be inclusive, but don't do that. Because right. What are you striving for? That's what I'm talking about as a society. We come in here and everyone can get participation trophies. Yay. Well, then what are we striving for?
Right.
Everyone can get money from old Joe Biden. So what are we working for?
Right.
And that's the problem that we see now. So if she's going to be modeling, I'm okay with that. If you're going to start getting some, and see, it's hard for me to even be me when I make fun of people because I don't want to make fun of anyone who has Down syndrome, right? But we get what we're saying here. If there's you know, a Willy Wonka looking dude or chick that's trying to be a model. Like, no one wants to see that. I'm so sorry. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I understand you have your dreams, but let's be real. Let's keep the professions the way it should be. Modeling is modeling. You have to have at least some kind of looks in order to do it. It's not just about having the walk or whatever for a runway. If you're going to be a model, you need to be pretty. I'm sorry. I don't care if you're Down syndrome, if you're a little person. I don't care if you're white, black, Asian, Mexican. That should be a requirement. So let's not do that. That's where I say the controversy comes in. I'm okay with her doing it. But if you start introducing to everybody else, this isn't a participation thing, I'm out. Like, right. I'm going to be against it.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, you know, just because, you know, just because you want to, just because you want to do something and don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying like, you know, when you're growing up, you put your mind to it, you could do it. I believe that. But the thing is that, I mean, I'll use myself for an example. Okay. Let's just say, you know, like growing up, I loved playing football. You know, I thought it would have been cool to go to the NFL, but I don't have that talent and skill to make that happen, to go to the NFL. It's not my fault. It's just because, I mean, that's just the way God made me. I mean, those are your genes.
Yeah, it wasn't your path.
I mean, you know, was I a good football player? Yeah, I was a good football player. Am I NFL good? No, I'm not NFL good. So kind of comparing that, I mean, everybody has genes. So if, I mean, I kind of feel like, let's just say you have an ugly face, but you have a good looking body. I still feel Victoria's Secret could use somebody like that. But I mean,
makeup, right?
Yeah. Right. But if you do not have a good body and, you know, or a good looking face, I mean, you're not going to get really far in the modeling industry. I just feel.
Well, Photoshop is meant for touching up. It's not meant to make magic.
Right.
So like if you're having people on there where your whole post process is you absolutely have to Photoshop and you have to do like extreme edits on Photoshop to get the look, you shouldn't be a model.
Exactly.
And that's what happens.
And that's the other thing too. Like Victoria's Secret using this woman for modeling and she has Down syndrome. You know, she's prettier than a lot of people who walk the street here in Albuquerque, you know? And, so with her being pretty and a good body, you know, I feel she's able to do something like that. But if they, you know, if they put somebody who has, Down syndrome and, you know, doesn't have a good looking body, what they're looking for, then they're just trying to force it.
And that's my point is don't hand out participation trophies.
Right.
What are you going to look forward to if everybody that does it is going to do it? You talk about talent in the NFL. You can identify talent at a young age, right? Some people have it, some people don't. Just the way it is. Some people might have it and then they work hard and then they get there. But there's people who just don't. Modeling for the people that are going to be listening, for the females more than likely are going to be listening that are saying that we're just men and we don't know what we're talking about, we're objectifying women. That's what modeling is. That's what Victoria's Secret wants us to do. They want us to look at their product, in this case would be the model, and they want us to objectify her because they want us to feel some type of way. Whether we say, hey, look, there's the lingerie, I want to go buy that for my girl, or hey, look, I'm going to, you know, J my D to that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, but that's the whole point. So don't point the finger at me. Point it at Victoria's Secret. They've been doing this for years. And if you start giving out those participation trophies, we're going to have the same incident that we're seeing now in our society where, you know, you get a stimulus, you get a stimulus, you get a stimulus, and no one's working. No one wants to work. Why would you work when you're getting free money?
And why
would you try to be a model, or why would you put in the work, or even better, you're going to be disappointed and you're going to throw a fit because you're going to have entitlement, because you're going to think, oh, well, I dedicated 2 years to this growing up, or I dedicated 5-6 years to this growing up. So that means I'm entitled to be a model. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. I spent my whole life playing soccer. I gave up trying to be pro a long time ago. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to tell you something that you're going to get a kick out of this.
Yes.
And this is something you don't know about me. This is the first time you've heard about this.
Ooh, yeah.
You're going to laugh, man. So in high school, and this goes with our topic, in high school, I did modeling. I did, man. I have a picture to prove it.
Oh,
I'll show
my
it to
God.
You.
I don't want to see your dick, bro. I'm sorry. I know when you say modeling, I immediately just think that you were naked for some dude, for some dude in his grandma's basement.
Man, bro.
Cheeks and, open.
You know, it's funny because I remember my mom and my grandma driving me out to Santa Fe to take some shoots. Yeah, man. And I'll tell
it's
you
the Epstein,
what.
Epstein, the Epstein.
Bro, I'm telling you, I'm going to bring you in. I found the picture the other day, man, gosh. And I'm going to bring it in. And I'm going
to
show you.
I used to babysit a guy that his nickname was Shango. That means monkey in Spanish. Cute mm-hmm. kid. His mom had him in modeling as a child. And he was a cute kid. I don't ever know what happened to him, but funny you say that. When I lived in Vegas,
mm-hmm.
it's actually really funny. My very last day in Vegas. I don't know how, but my very last day in Vegas, it wasn't really modeling, but they were doing a reality show. And there was a talent scout. I was at a Walmart in Henderson. And there was a talent scout there, and she'd seen me. She identified me, and she kept looking at me, right? And I thought it was odd that she kept looking at me because I was just like, you know, you can tell people are like looking at you, but it wasn't like a look like she was checking me out. It kind of was, but it wasn't. It was right. hard to explain. Like when I saw her, she was like looking me up and down, like looking at me, but I didn't get the sense like I was like, oh, you know, she wants it. Like I'm gonna go talk to her. No, I didn't get that sense. It was like, why is she looking at me like that? Like, what is she looking at? Like. I can see her looking at me. What is she looking at? So finally, I was speaking to a manager there and I was walking down. For those of you guys, I'm not a Karen. I used to do work for Walmart, so I'm not talking to a manager to complain about no Barbasol shaving cream or anything, right? I was talking to a manager for work and then I was out before I had to go to the airport. Anyway, I was walking down the one of the big aisles there that they had and she stops me and she goes, hey, have you ever done any modeling? I was like, no. She goes, have you ever been on TV? And I was like, no, just radio. And she goes, oh, okay. She's like, well, we're starting a reality show and I think you'd be perfect for it. Now, whether that meant that I had a look that they were looking for the reality TV show, or I had a look where she thought I was a model type look, I couldn't tell you. I want to say more than likely is that they were probably trying to get like a misfit of a cast and I'd probably fit one of their descriptions. That's what I would assume, right? And that's what she scouted me for that too. And I would have done it that was my last day. But she gave me a card and she's like, if you change your mind, here, give this number a call. I'll expect you to call on Monday. This was a Friday. I flew back for the weekend. I knew I wasn't going back, but I called him anyway, just to see. And I called him just to see if it was one of the, like if it was legit, first of all, just to, and I don't know, maybe I just called just for myself, but they knew who I was. So it wasn't like one of those things where they handed out to everybody.
Right, right.
And it was like, oh, whoever calls us, maybe we'll get a casting call back. It was like, I think they only handed out so much because when I called, she was like, oh, yeah, you're on the list right here. So they knew who I was. And like, are you in? Because if you're in, we're shooting, doing we're meeting something on Wednesday or Thursday. And I was like, no, actually I'm calling to say I'm out because I actually moved. And it's like, well, that's unfortunate. No, have a great day. Boom. That was it. Right. But the fact that they remembered, I was like, okay, so this might've been real.
I picture him having you model for like some Calvin Klein whitey tighties.
You know, it's funny. Chris said the same thing. He was like, okay, whitey tighty. And Ross said the same thing too.
Looking a little shallow down here. Do we got some socks? Stuff it in a little bit.
Stop it.
Stop it, you.
Say, we're going to need a bigger sock.
Socks, anyone?
It's like, yeah, I got the ankle socks. No. We need them soccer socks. We need the big...
the double stuffers.
Man. The double stuffers. That's funny. So that, you know, that's crazy that way the whole modeling thing happens. But I don't know, man. That's why I said the controversy might come with me saying the things I say. But this is where the, like I tie in the last episode to the feminist. How are they going to approach this? Because my next thing was everything you're seeing in the women's sports are like record-wise are being broken by men. Transgender. It's a transgender woman is an X-man, right?
Right.
Okay. So they're being broken by transgender women. It's all fun and games now, right? Women are like, yeah, we're all included and they should be included in this and that. But then what happens when they're breaking all of your records, literally all of them? Are you going to then? It's one of those things. Are you then going to say, oh, I need back pay kind of stuff, right? Like, oh, well, they broke all the records. Can you strip those records and just put them in their own category and take those records over there? That's not happening. Those records that are broken by transgender women are going to stick And I think in less than 10 years, they're going to ask them to make their own category. And I think that because they're going to be salty that they can't compete.
Right. Yeah, I am. I feel...
It's no secret that men are just built different. They have an edge when it comes to sports, regardless if you want to believe it.
My daughter was competing in something. She was an adult and competing in something, and she got, you know, she could have had first place, but the person who won first place was a transgender. I would be upset. I would be pissed.
Why?
Because my daughter should have that first place. Because
why?
Because she's a woman and she worked her butt off to, you know, to do what she's doing, and it's just going to get taken away from her.
But that person won. Why? Why?
Yeah, because that person's not a woman. What I mean, if you want to be a transgender, that's totally up to you. I mean,
transphobic.
No, not at all.
No, that's what they do, bro. Cancel culture comes like that.
I mean, that just. I mean, you.
I think the word you're looking for is unfair.
It's very unfair, and exactly, that's a perfect word. It's unfair, but you got people that are transgender who want fairness, but then they're making it unfair for somebody else. You can't do that. Like,
well, I mentioned on the last podcast, I'm okay with the transgender movement. I have no issues with it. The problem I have is it's one of those things where, like, when you're a kid, when you do something and you know you see you don't get in trouble, so you just kind of keep pushing the limits to see how far you can go.
Right.
And you'll keep pushing until you find it. That's kind of how I feel about the transgender community. I feel like transgender women were happy being accepted in society as a transgender woman. But then that wasn't enough. How far can I push this? Hey, we're real women. And they're looking around and no one says anything. And they're like, oh, I don't know. We're real women. We're better than real women. It's like, and they're like, okay, maybe we might have crossed the line. But now they believe that they're women. So they will argue with you that they're real women.
You ask them if they can push out a baby.
Not even then. Not even then. If you look at the thing that happened on Dr. Phil with Matt Walsh and the chick with the beard and her boyfriend, I don't know. I see. And I don't know the proper pronouns for that. But even when they said that, you know what their argument was? Well, what about women who can't have babies because they're infertile or not fertile? Are you telling me that they're not real women? But that's my point is they have all this defensive comebacks, but the fact of the matter remains you're not a real woman. You don't menstruate. You can't be impregnated. You don't have ovaries. You don't have these things that make you a woman. And the one thing that still sticks with me, I said it the last time, I'm going to sound like a broken record, was when Matt Walsh said, I can dig up your bones in 100 years and based off of your bone structure and your bones, what's embedded in your DNA, when your bones alone, I can tell you're a female. But if I dig up 100 years and I look at your skull, I can't tell you what the hell you thought was what you thought you were. I can't tell that. I can tell based off your bones. And so, again, they're pushing the button. They're pushing. I'm a real woman. I'm a real woman. I don't mind calling you a transgender woman. I don't mind calling you by your proper pronouns. If you educate me, I don't have a problem with that at all. That's right, not where my problem is. Be happy. I don't think anyone should be unhappy. I know this is going to sound kind of cynical too. I'm very religious, right? So I believe there's procedures that you have to go through in order to get to heaven, right? If you could be a good person and not be religious and you're not going to heaven, I'm sorry, but that's the truth. So the way I look at it, and this might not be a good way to look at it, but you're probably not going to heaven. So enjoy your life as you can, right? I might not be the first person to tell you. I might be the first person to tell you. But based on my religion, it tells you if you don't follow these steps, you're not going to get into heaven. So the way I look at it, be happy. Be happy for as long as you can. I don't have a problem with that. But now you're sitting there and you're arguing with people and saying that you're a real woman. And when I tell you, actually, you're not, but that's okay. I still accept you. You're like, no, you're going to accept me and acknowledge me as a real woman. It's like, I can't do that because that's not true. And you're getting mad at me because I will not change my education. I will not change or conform to your delusion. It's a proper way to put it. It's delusion. And you're getting, you know what I'm saying? Like, now you're pushing the needle. Now you're making me look like a dick because I'm saying all these things when in reality, I have no problem with you. But if people are listening to this conversation and they jump in the middle of it or they jump in right now based off my tone and how it ends, you're going to think I'm a dick and you're going to think that I'm against your community, but that's not the case.
And here's the thing too, is I'm not against that community either. But, you know, at the end of the day, transgender or not, if we're in a public place and you walk into the restroom, if you're a male saying you're a female and you walk into the restroom after my daughter walks into the restroom in a public place, and I'm not going to be okay with that. I'm going to have a very big problem with that. And I'm sure there's going to be other people who are going to have issues with that as well. So, you know, and I'm not trying to sound like a dick either. At the end of the day, if you want to identify as something, that's fine. But really, just have it in the back of your head. Like, you need to stick to the basics. Like, if you're a male and you're wanting to be a female, you need to remember that, okay, fine, you want to be happy, this and that. That's great. I'm all for it. But you need to remember that you are born and you are still a male. So, you know, competing in these, you know, women activities when you're a male, of course you're going to have a hand over a female because you're a male. I mean, it's proven that males are a lot stronger. You know, it's you really need to stick to the basics, not you, but people in general that are thinking this way. They need to stick to the basics because at the end of the day, it's kind of like, you know, the old saying, remember where you came from. And
can you imagine if you tell a transgender person, remember where you came
from? Man,
beginnings.
You know? It probably wouldn't blow over, you know, very
but
well.
But I agree with your point because you have to look at it like that because exactly, if a transgender woman walks into the same bathroom as your daughter, and that's not even a bathroom, let's go locker room. And look at Caitlyn Jenner. Caitlyn still had his cash and prizes before she finally removed him, let's be proper, before she finally removed him. But at that point, she would have been allowed into a female locker room. And how uncomfortable would that be for women there? Again, it's like pushing the envelope. It's like, you can't just be happy that I'm accepting you into society. Because remember, the biggest thing back in like 09, 10, 11, somewhere around there, was they wanted their own bathrooms. Remember?
I do remember.
They wanted
that.
Their own,
yeah,
bathrooms. And then it's like, okay. And then schools and other government entities started implementing the other bathroom, right? I don't know if they called it miscellaneous or they called it other, or they actually called it a trans bathroom. I don't think they'd call it trans, but whatever that bathroom was called, they got it. And then it's like, no, we don't want to be separated. We want to be included. We want inclusion, not segregation. And it's like, no, but see, that's the thing is that what do you want? I mean, as far as that part, yeah, you're just like a female. You don't know what the hell you want. But that doesn't make you a female. That doesn't make you a real female. So I understand feminism in the sense of equality. And I don't understand feminism when they'll jump in to defend these cases when I think what you're trying to say, and that might just be me mansplaining right now, but I would think what you're trying to say is you just want inclusion and you want exception for all, which is fine. But again, there's certain lines you can't cross. You can't. Like, if you want to transition into a woman, but you wanted to keep your junk, you shouldn't be allowed into a women's facility. Like, if you cut it all off or whatever, you know what? If you're comfortable enough to show your body, I mean, it's like when I'm at the gym and I see gray balls, you know what I mean? I don't want to see it, but it's kind of expected, right? If you want to chop it off and tuck it in, it's going to look different than mine if I'm a woman, but at least it's not going to be the opposite reproductive system, you know what I'm saying? So I think if you go that length, maybe there's a conversation to be had there, but I'm still for, like, you know, you need to have your own rest, especially when it comes to schools. Like, you need to have your own in schools. And the big issue with schools is that there's sexual assault going on in those locker rooms. And I don't know the details if it's a transgender woman to a woman. I think that's how it's actually.
But see, then you run into the problems where, okay, let's just say you cut it all off and it's all gone. Okay.
He's talking about your cash and prizes.
I sure am. And let's just say you do that and you want to be a female. Okay, fine. But let's just say this then. Let's just say you want to be a female, but you're attracted to men and women. So now what? you know, you're in like you're in a locker room with Joe Blow's daughter, and you know, like you think I just think that's even then, like, it's still not, it's not okay for everybody, you know. So I think, you know, like, it's just, I mean, in that area, it's just, it's a whole mess. And I just think what people forget is,
well, look at it. It's a cheat code. If I was like, I'm not saying that people will go to these lengths, these lengths, but it's a cheat code. I love women. I think the woman is one of the, if not the most beautiful creature in this world. Mm-hmm. God, just beautiful. And I love women so much, wouldn't it be cheating or freaking AB up, down, whatever cheat code if I transition into a woman so I can be in the locker room where exactly. I'm just constantly horned up, seeing naked women?
Exactly.
Like, that's cheating.
Right. I mean,
but we're not talking about that. That's a huge possibility.
It is a big possibility. I mean, there's people that are, what if you're a bisexual and a transgender? Then what? You know what I mean? It's
and you're transsexual. I don't know, man.
I mean, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of where I'm coming from. And by all means, I'm not trying to shit on the transgender world. I'm just saying, you know, as a dad who has daughters, I just feel, you know, and even even my son, you know, it's still not right for a woman to go and, you know, that wants to be a man. And to go into a locker room either, like, you know, guys like.
So that one is a hard one too. I agree, because I don't know what a constructed penis looks like.
I don't.
But
either.
Can you imagine if your son or my son saw this Frankenstein of a wiener?
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just saying, like, you know, that's something. And are they going to get in trouble for talking about it? Like, if they're telling their friends, like, hey, so and so's got a Frankenstein wiener. He's got stitches everywhere.
Prosthetic dick.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, are they going to get in trouble for making, quote unquote, making fun? Or are they going to, they don't understand it. They don't know it. So they're talking about it. And then you're going to, are you going to hit me with, well, that's why we're trying to teach it in schools. Nope, that's not your business. That's mine.
Exactly.
Don't teach that in schools. You don't take away time from the curriculum to teach pronouns. When pronouns are meant for, look this up, people. Pronouns are meant for language. And words. They're not meant for humans.
Right.
Just so you know. I don't know, man. That's rough. I was going to say. Oh, yeah. And then Hobbs brought up a really good point. Is the cross-dresser dead? Is there no such thing as a cross-dresser anymore?
I mean,
like, remember that was like almost an insult growing up in the 90s. Like, oh, it's a cross-dresser. But that was also, I think, a way to identify someone who was transsexual, because we couldn't call them a tranny, we couldn't call them transsexuals because it offended, so they were cross-dressers. Or they were one way or the other. Like, Caitlyn Jenner would have been a cross-dresser because he still had all his cash and prizes but was dressing like a woman. That's a cross-dresser. Is that gone now? Did they literally just eliminate a word from the dictionary?
I have a funny story about that.
Nuts.
So, you're right. In the 90s, cross-dressing was a big thing. So, I remember my mom taking me as a kid to Pizza Hut because she was dating this guy that was the manager there. And I remember seeing him bending over
and he was
wearing girl panties.
Bro.
And I had to tell my mom, because I was like, why is he wearing girl underwear? And my mom like freaked out. She didn't know.
Because they were hers, huh? Because he stole them. They were hers. He's wearing her.
So that's her mom. There they are. And I was a little freaked out by that.
Stains going up.
Yeah, man. I was like, come on. So
you saw that?
I did see that. Yeah. And my mom didn't know about it. And I told her about it and she totally freaked out about it. She's like, are you serious? And I never seen him again. So what happened?
I don't know. Well, Dave became Danielle. That's what happened. That's why you never saw Dave again.
Apparently, man. Cause you know, and like I said, I mean, you know, it's, you know, their preference, whatever they want to do. But at the end of the day, man, like, I'm going to stick to this. And, you know, they got to stick to basics. Like, you know, just like we have to stick to basics. And I'm not separating they and we. I mean, we're all people. But what I am trying to say is that,
well, some identifies they and them. So,
yeah, I mean, you just have to, you know, really stick to the basics, man. You got to stick to the basics. And you have to remember where you came from, because if I wanted to be a transgender and I wanted to cut it all off, I don't know if I'd be okay with myself going into a female restroom, because I would honestly feel, but then again, I mean, I don't know.
I can tell you from working at those Walmarts that female restrooms are actually way worse than male restrooms. So I could tell you that I would not want to go into a female restroom. Now, would I probably be the perv going into the, well, I wouldn't even be considered a perv, but would I be the person going into the locker room? Yeah, probably. And everyone would have to be okay with it. Why? Because I said so. Because society says so. And that to me is just wrong. Because you don't know. Like, I don't know, man. It's crazy, though. It's crazy, this whole thing and where we are and how we just, everyone's wrong. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. All of us are wrong. And the alphabet people are right. Right. And I only say that because I feel like I always mess up. LGBTQ. See, but alphabet people, they're always right and we're wrong. And I just don't think that's right. Like, if we're preaching knowledge, well, let's stay on the base of knowledge and let me educate you, but in a non-defensive manner. And then the minute that you're, because the way it goes down is you'll give me your thoughts on it, right? And then I'll give you my opinion on it. But then you will shun me and talk down to me because of my opinion, instead of just accepting that you and I have different opinions, and then we go on about our business and we can still coexist and we can still be cordial and be friends if we are friends. But because society has you thinking that we're ops, and right. and if I don't agree with your ideology, then we can't even be cordial. The minute that you hear that I'm not 1,000%, you know, agreeing to what you say or how you feel. I shouldn't say how you feel, more so like your theory on it. Then, oh, I'm the bad guy and we can't be friends and I got to get stepped on and I got to get canceled and all this stuff. And that seems like bullying to me, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand you were probably bullied forever feminism and equality is exactly that, equality. Feminism, I don't know if you heard the last episode, but I said feminism was, we want equality in life. In the workplace, we want to be looked at as equals. We want to be able to make the same amount of money. We want the same opportunities. Modern day feminism is, I'm a woman. I have the power. You listen to me. You do what I say when I say it. I don't need no man. I don't want no man. Men suck. Men are the root of all evil. Men shouldn't be on this planet. If it was all women, the world would be so much better. And it's like, man, it sounds like, you know, like, tell me how you really feel. You're like, yeah. You know, you all this built up hate. Is it really feminism that you want? Like, why can't we invent a word for that? That's not feminism. And,
right.
And I don't want to call it modern day feminism. Why can't we have feminism be what it is and call this, you know, something else for what it is? Women think that they're better than men.
And you know, something about that too, like women who say stuff like that, they all have dads. And I know there's probably a lot of them who dearly love their dad. And there's probably a lot of them who have sons who dearly love their sons. So for them to say that they hate men and men are this and men are that, well, okay. Let's back up a minute. Like, you obviously have a dad, you know, and I'm not talking to the ones who.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know how it is, man. Sometimes. Yeah. Oh, no. My dad is an angel, but I'm talking about you men now as men. That's right. How they go into it, bro.
Right. And well, here's the thing, though. What about like these women who say these things and who have sons and they love their son dearly? Right.
Right.
Are you saying that your son is going to be a shitty man when he grows up? Are you saying he's shitty? Or are you saying,
you know what I've heard in those arguments? That's why I'm going to teach my son how to be a man for women, how to be a man for. And it's like, what are you saying? You know what strikes me as so contradicting is that. And I'm not saying that, I've never been like this, right? But I can see this dynamic. Okay, men, there was never equality growing up in the workplace, in life, and all that stuff, because men always looked at themselves as better than women. Stronger, faster, more power, whatever the hell you want to call it, right?
Right.
It's a man's world, they would say. And so men ruled it, ran it. And women just wanted equality. Humble women wanted equality. And then once equality was established for the majority, for the majority of it, I'm not saying that it was fully, it was fully ever equal, because there's going to be instances where it wasn't. But once we got to like a more of a level playing field, now that humble woman was gone, new era, new generation, where these humble women were raising these other women, and it can't, not always their fault. I'm not blaming them. But now we have these women that, now that they have power, now that they have attention, guess what they're doing? They're doing the same thing that men 50 years ago, 60 years ago were doing.
Right.
They have power, so they're taking advantage.
I was just about to say that.
They're, yep, they're stepping down on men, and they're trying to do all this and that. Equality? No, you're doing exactly what men were doing. All you wanted was power. Once you got it, you did the exact same thing that men were doing.
Right.
So what are we really talking about here?
Right. And I agree with that 110%. I was thinking about that. I was about to say all that.
Sorry if I interrupt you. I just, when I talk about this, man, I have all this pent up. I love Alyssa, man. I keep shouting you out and saying I want to have this conversation with you. And all I asked for my birthday was for a podcast. I'm not saying that you didn't get me anything, because you got me some amazing gifts, honey, and I thank you for that. But damn it, give me a podcast, you know? Because it sounds like we're just men mansplaining and being men out here, testosterone going right across the table. No, I want a female's perspective on this. I want you to come in here, and I want you to give me what you think. I think Alyssa would be a good one, because Alyssa's also a Christian. She's also religious, so she understands the dynamic that's stated in the Bible. In the Bible, man, the head of the table, and the woman but below him. But here's the thing. She'll tell you, I don't treat her as less. She'll tell you, I don't treat her like that. Why? Because there's an understanding. There's love. There's compassion.
Right.
If I love you as a brother, as a sister, we're going to have that equality.
Right.
Love. But you are creating hate. How can I respect you, and how can I treat you as an equal? How can I be cordial with you if you're just yelling at me all the time? If you're creating hate, that's impossible.
You know, something that goes along with this, I don't know exactly how true this is or not. So, you know, the fans out there, I don't want them to say, oh, he's wrong. But I heard this one time.
Jonathan Romo's on Instagram. If he is wrong, let him know.
I'm just kidding. So I did hear this one time. I've heard this once, and it was really interesting to me, and it stuck with me. And I always want to Google this to see if it's actually true or not. But the whole term of opening the door and letting the lady go first, that's actually, from what I have heard, like I said, I got to Google it, is like an insult. And it basically, it came from somewhere like, let the lady go first, because basically if she gets hurt or something happens, you could kind of like, I guess, remarry and move on to the next. So I don't know how true that is, but...
Wait, if you hold the door open for somebody?
Yeah, like, okay, let's just say you're leaving your house or something, mm-hmm, and, you know, the lady's first. That term is actually let the lady go first, because if something happens to her, you could... I don't know if this came from like some type of
war
thing.
So if there's
thing,
a shootout outside and she dies, something, then you could always remarry and carry on the seed of your name pretty much?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. So I've heard it somewhere, and I've always wanted to look into that. And, you know, I was so curious about that, and that's stuck with me.
Well, this thing says right here, and this is from Quora, so this is going to be just people answering questions. And the question was, why is it considered insulting when opening the door for a woman or calling her a ma'am? And this person says it's uncomfortable when a man holds a door for only women, because that's sexism. Even benevolent sexism is sexism. So it's funny, because that is actually raises a good point. If I'll hold the door, ladies, I'll hold the door for anyone. I hold the door for you, do I not?
Right.
And you consider yourself a man, correct?
Especially when I was on crutches.
Perfect. Exactly. See, he was on crutches and I was a helping hand and hold the door. But here's the thing that people don't see. In the case of this lady, I didn't read the rest of it. I'm not saying that she agrees with it, but she's stating that even it's sexism, or some people can look at it as sexism. That's how I got it. It doesn't seem like that's her opinion. It seems more that she's saying that it can be considered sexism. But how would you know that if you're not with me 24/7? Why would that be considered sexism? If I hold the door for everybody and then I hold it for you, all of a sudden that's sexism?
Right.
And that's where that whole power of women and feminism comes from, because before it was like, thank you, sir. Now it's like, oh, I don't need no man to hold my door. I don't need you to hold my door. I can hold my own door. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? I'm just holding the door for you because, you know, you're right here and I thought I'd hold the door for you. But even little things like that are not even acceptable anymore because of the things that are going on.
Right.
What is this?
All right. So where did the ladies first, or where did ladies first originate from? Ladies first is originated from Germany in the ancient times. When we were cave dwellers, we said ladies first when we hear some noise from outside. This is to send out the women first so that men can attack bears and other wild animals from behind. So women were bait.
You know, so it kind of...
Ooh, you're about to piss off a lot of people. I bet you women are like, I ain't no bait and I don't need no man. And I can kill a bear going out first. I don't care.
If it's on the internet, it has to be true.
It has to be true, right? It has to be true. Unless it's negative, right? Then it's about women, then it's obviously not true.
Right.
But if it was let the men go first and let them die so that way I can sneak behind the bear. Okay, so this is a dude. He's like a teenage black dude. I don't know if he's gay, what he is, what he identifies, but he had some long nails, really long. He was clapping, doing all that extra stuff. That's why I think he was gay. But his whole message was that men are not meant to be kings or leaders. We're worker ants. We're meant to work for the queen. Women are to run the world, and we work for them. And we're just here to be worker ants for them. And I'm like, man, they got this guy's mind poisoned. Like, to the point where he believes that men are only there to serve women. And he's a man. But the way it sounds as though he considers himself to be a woman. But that's funny, because if you consider yourself to be a woman, that means that you're saying that they should bend over for you, right?
Right.
What if this world, and that's because the way feminism is now, is, remember, they're stomping down men. They're talking bad about men. They're stomping down on men. Women are better. Men suck. Well, what if that wasn't the case right now? Would that person identify as a woman or lean on the side as a woman and talk bad about men? Or would they just shut the hell up and not say anything because right. they don't want to contribute to this delusion? This person believes to be, looked like a man, just had nails. Spoke like a gay person. Like, when you think of a traditional gay person, like, oh my gosh, like, that's what this dude spoke like. Clowning on men, they're there for women. And I remember him saying that, yeah, like, you're there for me, you're a queen, like that. So yeah, that's how I know you identified as a woman, now that I'm remembering. But if that wasn't acceptable and you were considered a man or whatever, would you be saying this stuff? And would you be saying this about women? Women are there for men, they're worker ants for the king. You wouldn't be saying that.
Right.
It's all societal. If society was still like that, you might be saying that, sure. Because you're a follower, not a leader.
Right.
So you're going to go with the flow. Whatever society is telling you is acceptable, whatever society is telling you you should say to be accepted, you're going to say. How many people out there are just L7 freaking losers, right? And the only way they can get any kind of attention is by saying controversial things, which in this case is agreeing with what society is saying, but they'll take it a little bit extra, right? Is that women are better, but then they'll go ahead and say so many bad things about men to get themselves that attention on TikTok. Because it's people like me who go against the grain who don't get that same attention. Not that I'm seeking it, but I'm also not out there clout chasing. I'm not out there chasing clout, agreeing with what people are saying, and then just adding my two cents to it to be relevant, to be famous.
Right.
Ask, there's a what is it called? A census or some kind of thing out that says if you ask people of the Generation Z or whatever this generation's called, what they want to be like when they grow up, the number one answer is a YouTuber. I'm serious.
You stole the words from me, man.
They think that's a career that's sustainable, and who knows what YouTube's going to look like in 10 years when they grow up? Who knows what they're going to look like? But if you continue to make content based on agreeing with what's going on, how stupid are you going to look if society switches, if it makes a big switch or a change, or some kind of world event happens where it changes? How dumb are you going to look? You were ride or die for this way. Now things are this way. How can you make that transition? Because you clout chasing, you following society means that for you to be relevant, now you have to switch sides.
You know,
because if you stay on the same side, you're going to be irrelevant. That's my point, is people are so dumb, bro. Like,
You know what drives me insane is TikTok. Mm. I hate TikTok. It drives me nuts. It's people, I don't understand. Like, I get why people watch it and look at it and stuff like that, because, you know, other people are interesting. But there's something wrong, man, when you, especially somebody who's ex-corrections, like, there's something wrong when you got TikTok going on in a prison facility, it is insane. Like, and you know, and people get a kick out of this. It's no, it's not. It's not okay. People are making professions of these type of things, and even in a prison, it's yeah. it's.
Well, I love how you give me the opportunity to be. To now dive into the conspiracy part of the this podcast, right? Not this one in particular, but just the vibe of this podcast. There's always got to be some conspiracy. But TikTok, as you know, I'm sure many of you guys know, was created by China. It's Chinese. That's why Donald Trump didn't want it here, because he said they're using it to spy on us, which is true, 1,000%, right? We spy on everyone based on apps and stuff. They use your location. So I'm sure China is doing the same thing, right? Instagram, Facebook, they need your location every time. Every time, right? So my point is that China, if you live in China, remember, you're geo-mapped to China. The things that they are trending and push to you are engineer and robotic stuff, smart stuff, like things that you do, like almost how to, you know, do something where it's like creative, it's artistic, it's progressive in the sense of like science and technology. That's all they push trending. So you see people in China watching TikTok videos. What they're watching is videos of them doing robotics, of them studying, like all this smart stuff. Now head west, and all you see trending on TikTok in the United States is stupid dances. That's all. And the reason why I say this is a conspiracy is because it seems true to me, but it is a conspiracy where they say that our enemies, the greatest weapon our enemy can do is make us dumb so we don't see the attack coming.
Mm-hmm.
While they're over there making sure their kids and their youth are only getting the best of the best and pushing them towards a career in robotics, technology, engineering to progress their way of living, their civilization, what are they doing to the ops? They're making them dumber by focusing on the dances, on the stupid political segregation stuff, things that are irrelevant and shouldn't matter, but do. That's all people watch on TikTok is the dances, and they get a kick out of it. The other thing they do is they'll do weird little panoramic things where it's like, it could be artistic, but at the same time, it's not making you any smarter. That's my whole point. And that's what we see as opposed to the creator of the app. All they see is the future. And it's nuts, man, that people don't think that something is on the verge, something's coming, like all this stuff that's going on. It just goes to show you, or at least me, it goes to show you that China's making moves now, man. They're making more moves now than they've ever had. Like they're making societal moves now, right? Because before they were working in political stuff in the background. Now they're making societal moves to make us dumb. So we go either against our government or make us argue with our government anymore. That's all they're pushing towards us. The algorithm that they have for the U.S. is to keep us fighting with one another.
Right.
That's not what they do over there, man. That's nuts. Don't you? What do you think? Don't you think that's crazy? Is it just me?
I could definitely see that. And I also think pushing something like how you're saying, like China pushes like that TikTok thing on us, our kids or people might see, even adults, man, like we'll see like these, you know, these great things or whatever. And, you know, now it gets into everybody's head where they don't want to start from the bottom. They want to start up here and they think that they're going to just be up here. Well, I have news. Mommy and daddy lied when they said you were special, because once you're an adult, you have to start down here. Unless.
Well, that's what you have to start implementing. When I was young, I was told that life hits when you turn 18. When right. You're out of high school, life hits. Regardless of what you think you're ready for, life hits. So for the weak-minded that tell their kids, if you do it for 5 years, you're going to make it. I'm not saying don't encourage your kids, but again, we can identify things and we have to prepare them for a plan B.
Right.
If their plan A was to go pro, most kids that play sports, their plan A is to go pro. But you as a parent have to plan them, get them ready for plan B and C.
Right.
Society doesn't do that now. So we have so many entitled brats that because something doesn't work out for them, there's backlash and they have outlets like Instagram stories, Snapchat stories, Facebook stories, TikTok. They have all these outlets where they can go and just talk crap about anyone, and their followers will believe anything they say. That's a one-sided story. Look at the company. We had a guy come in here that claimed that we were racist towards him.
Right.
Me of all people, like I don't understand that. Like I'm not speaking for anyone else. All I'm saying is like you're crazy. You don't know my background to think I'm racist. But He claimed that we were racist because he was showing up hours too late at work. He was leaving early. He would lie and not be on post. And then we fired him and they played the black card.
We had a guy who recently just played the black card and gay card.
Oh, yeah, that's right, right? And then he was begging our clients for money.
Exactly.
While supposed to be protecting them, he was begging them for money.
So basically, termination. Yeah.
But my point is that if that guy, we'll talk about him, if he has a following and he goes on there and says that we're a racist company, don't work for this company, that we mistreat our employees, we do this and that, they're going to believe what he says. That's one side of the story. And people are drawn to that. They're like, oh, and they love that stuff. Regardless of how much they say publicly that they hate racism and all this, they're drawn to it. That's why you still see it.
And that's why I'm trying to try to raise my kids. Like, of course, my kids, to me, are the most specialist people in the world. But I also try to let them know when they're adults, they're nobody to anybody out there. They're at ground zero. So I try to get those thoughts in their head. Like, you know, they'll always have my support and protection. But when they get to the real world out there, to any of these other people, like I said, they're nobody special. To me, they're special, but to the world, they're just regular Joe Blow, and they have to work for what they have. And you know, I'm trying to prepare them for the real world, not to be so sensitive,
not to be so naive.
Exactly,
because it's not just about them, but it's also them being taken advantage of because they can't identify a type, a person, because they're so in their own bubble.
Yeah. And you know, it's, you know, and you know, my oldest is she's starting to get a taste of that. So I just want to make sure that my goal as their parent when they become adults is to not lie to them now as kids, because if you do that, if you try to shelter and lie to your kids and say, oh, this and that and blah blah blah, like When they're out there in the real world, they're just going to be like, wow, like my parents really didn't set me up for this, you know? And I think it's really important because they're going to be shell-shocked once, you know, they get out there and they have to pay their own rent. They have to pay their own car payment. They got to...
But you know what's sad about that is instead of turning and blaming who's responsible, which would be their parents and themselves, they blame the world.
Exactly.
They blame the state of the world. It's your guys' fault. You can't identify how great I am or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, Mom, you didn't prepare me for this. What's your job as a parent is to raise me to make sure I leave something in this world. Anyone who comes in this world, our goal is to contribute to progressing the world, to contribute to the world. How did I do that if I'm just sitting here complaining and crying the whole time? Mom, you didn't do this. You taught me to cry and whine, and the louder I scream, the faster I'll get what I want. You didn't prepare me for that, but they don't blame their parents. Right. They blame the society that, oh, you're racist. Oh, you're sexist. Oh, you're transphobic. Oh, you're this phobia, that phobia. You're this and that because I'm not ready for the world.
Right.
That means, like, instead of saying, like, or they'll say, you're not ready for me, as opposed to saying, I'm not ready for the world.
Right. And see, and that's something that I try to show an example for my kids is my kids have seen me start from literally nothing. I was, you know, getting unemployment checks, and I was trying to look for a job, going through a rough stage in my life, and I literally had nothing. And my kids growing up have seen that. And they have seen how far that I've progressed, and they see all the hard work that I put in. And now at this point in my life, I'm running two different companies, and my kids see that, and I know they're proud of it. And I always remind them, and the times, and they see it too, the times that I get frustrated when things aren't going how I want them to go, you know, with the companies, they see the frustration, they see how stressed I could get. But see, like, I'm glad that they see that because I want them to know that nothing just comes to you. And it's not the world's fault. Like, you have to do something about it. If something's not working, then you need to tweak it a little bit and you need to do something different. And they see all the blood, the sweat, the tears that I've put in over the years, and they see where I'm at now. And, you know, my kids are proud of me because of that. And I hope that they take that and they learn from it, so that way if they decide they want to run companies or they want to do this or they want to do that, when they fail, like there's no such thing as failing. When you fail is when you give up. So when, you know, when something doesn't go as planned for them, I hope that they could get up, dust themselves off and keep going, because that's what I do. And so when they get into, you know, the real world, I hope that I'm a perfect example and they could remember that and strive with that, so that way they could be successful. So, you know, I feel, you know, you nailed it right on the head. It all comes down to the parents. It's not the world's problem. You know, things are run the way they are, and it's how you adjust and how you take the steps that you need to take to make yourself successful. Ain't nobody going to make yourself successful except for you. If you don't have the ambition, if you don't have the strive, if you don't have
work ethic,
yeah, the work ethic, the energy, I mean, and you just, and you're not hungry, you're not going to get nowhere, you know? And there's days myself where I'm just like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm just, you know, I'm exhausted, I'm tired. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm not going to give up. I might have a little fit for a minute, but, you know, I'm going to knock it off, and, you know, I'm going to put my big boy pants on and I'm going to keep going, you know, and you just need that. You need that positive energy. So, you know, and something I feel like parents need to teach their kids too is have an outlet. Like if you have an outlet, whether it be whatever, you know, mine was skateboarding and I broke my ankle.
Did you though?
Did I though?
Did you though? Or did you just get worse?
I don't know. That's what the doctor said.
Did you see the x-rays?
I think they were mine. But, you know, I mean, just have some type of outlet where, you know, you could kind of regroup and get ready for the next, you know? So I think that's something important that parents need to teach their kids when they're young, is to have some type of outlet. When you get stressed out, you know how to handle that and you could come back and just bounce back, you know? And I think a lot of parents forget to teach their kids that. And yeah, I mean, you know, it's rough finding people with good work ethic these days. You can't find really anybody. I mean, you see it. I see it. I'm sure people listening to this podcast right now have seen it. And it's...
Yeah, whether they've seen people in and out of their job or whether they're struggling, but yeah, they see it. You know, usually I like to close out with something either taken from the podcast or just kind of some kind of positivity. I always like to close on positivity. And there's no other way I'd rather close it out than with the words that you just said, because it's true, man. Like that's coming from a parent, that's coming from someone who's lived it, that's coming from someone who is teaching their daughters that the world can be unfair, but it's not all unfair. You know, so you got to make what you make your path, you carve your path, you right. know, and that's the greatest message you can send to anyone, boy or girl. But, you know, like I said, I'm not going to touch on that because I love pretty much everything you said.
Right.
So the only thing I want to say is that, continue to follow the podcast, go ahead and shoot all your plugs that way that, you know, they know where to find you if they want to look for you.
You can find me on Facebook, Jonathan Rummel. You can find me on Instagram at Streetside Image. I have my website, streetsideimage.com. I started this photography business this year. Free photos right now. Let me know. Send me a message and we'll get you squared away. I'm really excited about this company that I started. Once again, Streetside Image. I'm excited to be on the podcast, Culture Punch. And thank you for having me.
Make sure you guys go sooner rather than later though, because those slots are filling up, right? You're a couple weeks out for booking.
They are, yeah. I'm booked this weekend, but I have you know, like I said, just send me a message.
And it won't be free long, right?
So no, people it won't.
Come. It's a short thing. If you guys are listening to this, make sure you guys go out there and get some professional pictures done for free while you can. And you know what, you get more like 2-3 hour slot.
2-3 hour slot. Mm-hmm. And you know, the easiest place to probably find me is on Instagram, and it's Streetside with the under, what is that called?
Underscore.
With the underscore and then image. So Streetside underscore image. Let me know and we could get those photos done.
Yeah, better make sure you guys go at them, because I'll tell you right now, I do not do charity, so I will charge you. I will charge you for photos, I will charge you for my equipment, and I will charge you for my time. So if you guys are looking for free stuff, make sure you guys get at Streetside Image. Jonathan, I appreciate you coming on, man, giving your opinion, sharing it with
the
Culture Empire. For those of you guys that are day ones, new ones, thank you guys. We appreciate you. Look out for this and go ahead and give us a rating on your favorite platforms. And we'll talk to you guys again soon.